Okay, Shalom Aboisai. We are in Chayvus Halvavos Shara Kniya, Perek Vav. Shara Kniya Perek Vav. We're discussing the conduct of a nichna, the conduct of the honor of halacha lemais, right? We're up to number six, the various conducts that he is counting here. Hashishi, number six is sheyihye yikaruach ugvan nefesh binyone olam haba. When it comes to olam haba, a person should be ambitious and a person should be presumptuous. Meaning what? Shelo yaspik lo mehem ma sheyizamin. Here is not the place to be mistopic bimuot, to say, okay, you know, I don't have high demands. Don't say, all right, what I get will be good. The smallest amount of olam haba is very great, right? So, okay, I do a few mitzvahs, good enough. Rather, a person should always be dissatisfied. He should always be saying, I can be getting more. I can be getting more. Whatever level I'm at, whatever level my efforts are. Should always be aiming for higher, aiming for more. Trying to generate as much as you can. Like it says about Yehoshaphat, his heart was high in the Darkei Hashem, meaning he was always aiming higher, aiming for more. Be greedy. When it comes to Olam Haba, here's where you want to be greedy. Now, here's the thing to understand, because on the one hand, we are told that the smallest ounce of Olam Haba is worth, right? A moment of pleasure in Olam Haba is worth more than kol chay olam hazeh, all the pleasure ever experienced in olam hazeh. Rav Dessler's famous cheshbon, right? Kol chay olam hazeh doesn't mean your greatest pleasures. It means you have to think of all the pleasures ever experienced by anyone in all of history, all concentrated together. I don't want to say 1 minute, because it doesn't, mind doesn't really register that. But 10 minutes, okay? 10 minutes you'll experience all the thrills anybody ever experienced in history. An ounce of oil doing one mitzvah, the smallest mitzvah, earns you more than that. So I say, no, why should I work too hard if I can get all that? If I can get all that for a small mitzvah, okay, that's great. But the answer is that for another mitzvah, you get that much more of it. It's true. It is better than kol chayei olam hazeh, but why should you suffice with better than kol chayei olam hazeh? You get to olam haba and you'll see how it gets infinitely and exponentially better. You won't want to be the pauper there, even if it's better than kol chayei olam hazeh. Who's talking about chayei olam hazeh there? We're talking about so much more that's available to be had there, and a person will regret not having pushed for more. Not having pushed for more. We have to realize in Olam Hazeh, there's a limit to Gashmias. And this also can sometimes be misleading when it comes to Olam Haba. Let's say, for example, Chafetz Chaim tells us, we know that, let's make a cheshbon like this. Okay, let's take it very literal. Wonder how valuable Torah is? More than thousands of gold and silver. How much is thousands of gold and silver? Thousands? Let's just get very mathematical here, very concrete mathematical. How much is thousands? You're going to tell minimum has to be 2,000. Okay, let's call it 2,000. Thousands of gold and silver. I don't know how you assess the gold and silver that we're talking about. But let's say gold and silver is a dollar. It's probably more than a dollar, right? Whatever amount of gold and silver we're talking about is a dollar, let's say. Okay, I'm going to give $1 to gold, $1 to silver. $2. You know, just to keep it simple, we'll say a dollar, even though we understand that gold and silver is more than a dollar. So $2,000. Oh, what's that? Is now? Gold? They're saying $2,000 per ounce. So we have to be talking about $2,000, not a dollar. But you know what? That's going to get way out of hand. We're going to call gold a dollar right now. But under Abba, we're understanding that afterwards we have to multiply it by 2,000. Okay? When we get to the end of the road, we'll have to multiply it by 2,000. We'll call it a dollar. We're saying it's worth thousands of gold and silver. It means at least 2,000. Talk about $2,000, let's say. Okay? Taira. We know from the Gra, etc., that a word of Torah is, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is in each word. So each word of Torah is worth $2,000. Now, Reb Nir is telling us that that's not so. It's 400,000 or 4 million. But if really we're taking those 2,000 and multiplying them by 2,000, $4 million. $4 million for a word of Torah. That's what the cheshbon comes out. If we're assuming again, I'm going to catch a Moshe up on our cheshbon here. We're trying to a little bit, grasp why we can't grasp what Elam Abba is. Tendly tell us picham alfei is over chesed. If we're assuming alfei is 2,000, because it's a minimal, right? Abner is telling us that an ounce of gold today is $2,000. To have 2,000 gold is $4 million. We're assuming that a gold is not less than an ounce, okay? And if you want to be cheap, assume that it's less than an ounce. We'll call it $1,000. So it's only, we're only talking about $2 million. Each mitzvah of Talmud Torah is $2 million. A word, according to the Gra, each word when you're learning is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So each word is $2 million, right? We cut it down to half an ounce. $2 million. Chofetz Chaim makes a cheshbon that you can speak 200 words in a minute. Now let's say you're learning slowly and deliberately. Okay? Slowly and deliberately, you're only going to say 50 words in a minute. Okay? So $50 million. A minute of learning. Now most of us don't sit down to learn for a minute. Okay? How long do you sit down to learn for? I would imagine at least half hour, but I think everybody here sits down for at least an hour at a time. I don't know at a time, but I'm saying, about your day, you're going to sit down for an hour? So we have our $3 billion, is that the cheshbon? I'm relying on Reb Nir's math. You can sue him afterwards. But $3 billion we're talking about. So you sat down for an hour of learning. If we're just talking in material terms, $3 billion. So now think about it. We're all doing more than an hour of learning. Here the Yitzhak can come and say, 1 minute, you have $3 billion, you have the Sudar, you can take it easy a little bit, right? But you have to realize that Olam Hazeh, once you have passed a certain amount, it's already insignificant, right? I don't know where you'll draw the amount. Let's call it 100 million. Can you really upgrade? Can you really enhance the quality of your life more once you've gotten there? It's already all about just where you are in Forbes, right? On the list. But once you've got 100 million, can you enhance your life more? So, you're my $3 billion. What do I need to work harder for? I'll sit down to learn for an hour, try not to do too enough of the virus to ruin it all, and I can chill for the rest of my life. $3 billion isn't bad. But if you realize, here's the point to realize, that in Olam Haba, there is no limit. And therefore, every added, let's just talk in terms of millions. Every added million is like, again, a faint mashal. The difference between, it's your first million. It's that difference. Another one. The quality of life in Olam Haba just keeps on expanding and keeps on expanding and keeps on expanding. It's limitless.
And I could just counter it with an argument. You might say for yourself, you don't need more than, but what you could do for the cloud, because if you have an opportunity to close a deal that will create, that wealth, and you can use that for the cloud. I'm wondering if it's okay if you decide I'm going to forgo that.
Right.
So the truth is, in any case, even just for yourself, it's not okay for you to decide to forgo that. We don't have that right. Hashem is saying, I intended for you the ultimate bliss. That's why I put you here. And you know what? The if a Jew wants to come and say, Hashem, thank you, but you know what? I want to enjoy Olam Hazeh. Hashem doesn't accept that. You know the famous story, the famous mashal that the Chofetz Chaim said about, I won't get into the context of the mashal, I'll just give the mashal for our purposes, about the child. He inherited an astronomical amount of money. inherited $5 million, got it in a check from his father's lawyer. He got it in a check, $5 million. Okay. He's very happy. He wants to buy something really good with those $5 million. Where do you go with a check of $5 million? Local candy store. Comes to the candy store. He wants the most expensive candies there. Okay. He goes, fills up a basket, the most expensive candies there. Comes to the seller, tallies it up. These are expensive candies, $85. The kid pulls out his check. He says, is this enough? And the seller looks at it and he says, no. I mean, this is much too much. Yeah, okay, so give me change. The seller says, I don't have this kind of change. It's okay. I really want these candies. So keep it. I have a little more. You keep it. What's Chaim says, an honest vendor is going to tell him, I can't do that. If you would tell me, you know, $85, you only have 90, I don't have change, you want me to keep the $5, I can do that. I can't take $5 million since only it's $85, right? The honest vendor will refuse. This is when we come and tell Hashem, say that we're willing to give it up. I can't allow you to do that. I can't allow you to do that. You don't appreciate what I'm offering you here, and therefore I can't allow you to do that. That's why Hashem will push. If we take it easy, Hashem won't say, all right, Hashem. Hashem will push. We heard last night, right, about Hashem pushing because he wants more. What does he want more for? He wants more for us. He doesn't want us. He doesn't want us to submit to the tragedy of making do with less than he intended for us. So on the contrary, the Chumash is actually telling us that this is an aspect of Kenia. If we really appreciate the reality that Hashem is setting us up in, we understand that we better apply ourselves to the maximum that Hashem is willing to give us. And never to stop. Never to stop aiming for higher. So that's number six. The nichna, a person who truly appreciates what it means, right? That's what the dynamic of kniya is, to appreciate quite what it means that Hashem has an asek with me, to be humbled as a result. If you understand that, you throw yourself into trying to gain the maximum of what Hashem is offering you in this relationship. Hashmi. What's number seven in our halacha lemaisa, conduct of a nichna? Sheiktan be'einov ma'aseh. That he should always be dissatisfied. He should consider his achievements inadequate. He should look at himself and say, this isn't appropriate. Why am I not applying myself more if I appreciate what it means to be in this, quote unquote, to be in this relationship with Hashem? I'm not living up to that reality. Both in terms of our obligations towards Hashem and in terms of our obligations, meaning Hashem's expectations of us toward people. I'm not living up to a relationship with Hashem. This is a chash of the cloud. A person should constantly be davening to Hashem to strengthen him, to reinforce him, to give him more koyach to do more. And he should always, again, when he's actually engaged in some mitzvah activity, he should approach it humbly with a submissive feeling. I wish I could be doing it even better, even grander. Not be doing it feeling high and holy about himself. Bein levadoi, whether he's by himself, meaning, or bein b'toich makeles be'odo, whether you're operating by yourself, whether you're operating among others. When you're operating by yourself, each time there could be a different way of the gaiva creeping in. Operating by yourself, you might dafka sometimes feel high and holy, look what I'm doing, privacy, nobody knows, etc. Right? Then just the Yetzer can make its way in, just they know the Latzmoy. And then, of course, when a person is doing things in mass public view, he could be focused on the impression that he's making on others, feeling great about himself. Gives an interesting pshat here. I'll just say it outside for now. Very interesting pshat in the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. The day starts with Trumas Hadeshen. That's the avoid of the Beis Hamikdash starts with Trumas Hadeshen, which is basically shoveling the waste off the Mizbeach. He says, put the kohen in the highest position. He wants him to start the day with a humble task of taking out the waste. Very interesting pshat. Chaim Salvanus is pshat. And why the day in the Beis Hamikdash opens with Trumas Hadeshen. It's like supposed to be a certain humbling statement to the Kohen. You start by, so to speak, acting as a janitor in Hashem's service. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Oh, a girl for the Trumas Hadeshen, I hear. I hear. I hear.